More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside.
Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So I was reading this article the other day from Daily Wire talking about the Biden administration, and what they found is that it's led by lawyers, academics, and community organizers. The top 68 individuals in the administration have spent an average of 2.4 years in the business world. You look at someone like Joe Biden, he's been in Congress and government for almost 50 years. Look, these people are communists, they're agenda-driven, they're intentionally destroying the country, but they also don't know what the hell they're doing, right? And in a large part, it's because you have all these people, he has surrounded himself, he is someone who has only been part of the problem all this time. They're not used to fixing the problems. They think in theories, not in practicality. So we're going to have someone on the show who thinks in practicalities, who has had to execute for a living, and that's Oklahoma Governor Kevin Stitt. He started a company at age 27 with $1,000 and a computer. Now this company has over 1,600 employees. They do business in 42 other states. He's also done things like appointing the first chief operating officer in state history of Oklahoma, really looking at his job as an executive like a business guy, bringing a different approach. They are, you know, leading in terms of economic growth, doing great in that arena as well. So he's been really successful as a governor, I think, because of an outsider approach. So we're going to get into that with him and that sort of fresh way of looking at problems, the importance of that as well. We're also going to get into Joe Biden sort of flirting with this idea of a climate emergency. What are these policies doing to the country? What impact are they going to have? And what impact are they having? We'll get into that with him as well. He's also, you know, Oklahoma is also leading the way in banning abortion as well. So we'll get into that and so many other issues. Also, the governor is a member of Cherokee Nation. He's the first tribally enrolled Native American to serve as governor of a U.S. state. So what does he think of Elizabeth Warren's cultural appropriation? Right. He's a real Cherokee, not like Elizabeth Warren. So we'll get his take on that and so much more. Stay with us. Here's Oklahoma Governor Kevin Stitt. Governor, I'm so excited to have you on. I met you a few weeks ago and just really enjoyed getting to know you. So I said to myself, let's get him on the podcast.
Well, absolutely. Great to meet you, too. And thanks for having me on. I'm looking forward to chatting with you.
Absolutely. I mean, there's obviously so much going on in the country. It's sort of crazy these days. Do you ever just think to yourself, is this real life?
You know, absolutely. I was in the business world for 20 years before I ran for governor. And, you know, it's just amazing to be governor at this time in our history when it seems like the left is just getting crazier and crazier and their policies. And I think it's going to be a red wave come November because people are sick and tired of the mandates, the dictating, the lack of common sense that's happening right now in our political, in the political world.
Well, and I wanted to get into that, and I want to get into, sort of looking at a different angle as a business guy going into politics. So, you know, to that point, you talk about common sense. I think one of the big problems with this administration, the Daily Wire had this article a couple weeks ago, and basically what they found is the Biden administration is essentially led by lawyers, academics, community organizers. The top 68 individuals in the administration have spent an average of 2.4 years in the business world. You look at Joe Biden, someone who's been in Congress for something like 50 years. So in otherwise, our government is led by people who have never actually had to put anything into practice. They've not had to execute. How much of a problem do you think that is?
I mean, it is a huge, huge problem. We elect people to run billion-dollar budgets. I mean, from my perspective at a state level, this is what I told Oklahomans, is we normally elect these career politicians, and this is a big CEO role to run a $22 billion budget, 30,000 state employees. And from a state level, this is like running a business. We want to be a top 10 state. We want to have the best services. We want to have the most proactive government. And we want to have the most efficient government for the taxpayers. But you elect people that have never, you know, signed a check or never set a vision or set a strategy or hired the right people and held meetings and made sure that people are being held accountable all throughout the organization. And so we start out behind the eight ball by the people that we choose to lead our different states. And then you take it to the hundredth degree when you talk about the president of the United States. But when you have your team around you, I have to hire people smarter than me and put them in the right positions that know more about their different fields, and then hold them accountable, set the vision for the team, and let them go run. But when the President of the United States is hiring these academics and these folks that have no common sense, they've never actually been in the business world and led people, and it's all theory for them, and it's all just a you know, it's these activists, basically community organizers, and it's just so far removed from what we know happens on Main Street in Oklahoma or in Tennessee or in Texas or in Florida that we really don't understand what's happening in Washington, D.C. And we can go through the policy on energy when we look at the border. I mean, all the things that are concerning Americans, they're just not being intellectually honest with what it's going to take to solve these problems, and they're just activists.
But even just having a baby formula shortage. I mean, we had to get baby formula airlifted in from Europe, the United States of America. I mean, it's mind blowing.
I mean, go back. I mean, it's been a year now, but look at the exit from Afghanistan. When Trump was in office, we didn't lose one service member, and we had, you know, a very small contingent, about 2,000 soldiers left there. We had the base there, and the way that they predict and telegraph and say we're going to exit on this day, and we left all that equipment, the billions of dollars. None of this makes sense to a normal average American and what we're seeing, and people, you know, holding on to those airplanes for dear life because they knew their freedom was being taken away from them. And just that none of that had to happen if we had somebody there thinking about Americans and what that looks like and how to do that in the most efficient, effective way. And instead, we've got activists or somebody that's pulling the strings up there to make a political point. And it's just they've lost all common sense.
Well, and even just exiting, the Bagram Air Force Base or Air Base before getting your people out, like none of it's just, to your point, it's just terrible execution. It's almost mind-numbingly dumb. And the sad thing is it got 13 service members killed, and we left Americans behind, which is unfathomable that American president would turn his back on his own people to that degree. I think that was actually probably the big shift in his polling numbers, of people just saying the way he viewed them in the fact that he would leave us behind, or us Americans.
That's right. I mean, we Oklahoma, we took in some Afghanistan refugees, and I actually took my family. We had dinner with this Christian family that were going to be persecuted, and they were telling me their story, how they literally would have been killed had they remained in Afghanistan. And so I went to their house, this church. We had a couple churches here in the Oklahoma area that took them in and put them up, and we all sat on the floor, and they had a traditional dinner for us, and I brought my kids with me, and we got to meet their family, the mom and the dad and their kids, and we just had the best time. And they were just thanking us for opening up and helping rescue them out of that situation. And they were telling us the oppression from the Taliban and what happens whenever we pulled out. And it was just heartbreaking stories to hear. And that was a firsthand experience that I had with my family, and to meet that family that was saved. It was just a great experience for us.
No, I certainly have empathy for the refugees, but how do you make sure they're vetted? Because I don't trust this administration to get that job done efficiently.
Well, that's something that 100% agree. We have to know, you know, we can talk about the border security. We have to know who those folks are coming in. But in Oklahoma, we reached out to the ones that our servicemen, Oklahoma National Guard, our military personnel that fought there. And we tried to open up Oklahoma to the folks that had been helping our service members while they were stationed in Afghanistan. So that's kind of the approach that we took.
Quick commercial break, back with Oklahoma's Governor Kevin Stitt on the other side.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
Every week, we'll pick a new song from the list and talk about their placement on the revamped 2021 list.
We'll also have guests join us, ranging from the artists themselves to the producers or simply other writers like ourselves who voted on them.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside and Britney Spears' Baby One More Time.
There's so many fascinating stories that have been forgotten, like Midnight Train to Georgia starting with a phone call to Farrah Fawcett, or how the Yeah Yeah Yeahs inspired Kelly Clarkson's banger Since You've Been Gone and Beyoncé's Hold Up. Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Junie. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, so we're talking about we're talking about having a business perspective just really helps the shape or any sort of, you know, I'm of the mindset I only want either governors or business people elected to president moving forward. But I think that's why President Trump was so successful, even just foreign policy, a completely new approach to looking at government. But the challenge with that is, you know, you got guys like you or Trump who are successful, and it's like, do I want to run? Do I want to engage in this battle? You know, so why did you decide to run?
You know, so a little bit about my story. I grew up in Oklahoma, fourth generation Oklahoma. Dad was a pastor, and I'd been in the business world. After college, I started a company with $1,000 and a computer and grew that. And today we have 1,600 employees, do business all over the country. And I was just so tired of seeing my state struggle and not win compared to what other states were. And we were having teacher walkouts, and we had billion-dollar budget deficits, and state agencies were losing money. And I looked at who was running, and it was just more the same, just these career politicians. And I started doing research, and I realized that, you know, our founding fathers, they never thought that politics was going to be some career profession. They thought you would be a successful business person or farmer or pastor or rancher, and you would leave your private sector job and go serve your state or your country, and then you'd come back to the private sector. So, you know, I looked around and there was 10 people running, and none of them had my profile, and I felt convicted. I felt like the Lord kind of put it on my heart, and so I raised my hand and had zero name ID. Everybody's like, who is this guy? Because I was not involved in politics, but Trump had kind of inspired me as well. I saw him come out of nowhere and win the presidency, and I thought, hey, if we want Oklahoma, the state that I grew up in and love and where my grandparents lived, to be a top 10 state, then we're going to need something different, a fresh set of eyes and a fresh business approach to running state government more efficiently. And I raised my hand and I won. And it's been 4 years. I'm running for re-election this year. And it's just been an amazing journey. Today, Oklahoma now has the lowest unemployment we've ever had in our state's history. We're top 10. We have the largest savings account we've ever had in our state history. We're number 4 in the country when you look at our revenue to savings. I cut taxes last year. We're top 10 in migration, people moving to our state. So we could not be going better for our state. And I just want to keep that momentum going for another 4 years before I step back to the private sector.
You know, and I saw that you appointed the first chief operating officer in the state's history. Is that correct?
That is correct. And so, most people, and this is what I see the president doing right now, they put their campaign people or whatever as chief of staff. But you need to actually hire and recruit for what they're going to be doing. So our state had never had a chief operating officer, and I got that from some other governors that had done that in other states very successfully. So I hired a business person to come in and run our cabinet and all 33,000 state employees. And so that's kind of our approach we've taken. And so we want to run that more efficiently, because at the end of the day, these are big state agencies, whether you're building roads and bridges or tourism and you're building parks. But you've got accounting functions, and you've got accounting, HR, you've got all the personnel. You have to have the right lieutenants there in place to make sure that you are driving efficiency and holding people accountable and running state government and thinking about the taxpayer. Nobody, the more I get into this job, nobody advocates for the taxpayers. It's always these big industries that hire lobbyists that then push different policy. And so every day I wake up saying, who is advocating for the taxpayer, making things more efficient for them? And so that's kind of my job as governor here in our state.
How do you find time to be governor with 6 children?
I've got a fantastic wife that helps me out a bunch. But in all seriousness, that's kind of my, I believe you have to keep your priorities straight in life. You put God first, then your family, and then your job. And so I always try to prioritize that. It's difficult, but everybody has those same challenges. Every working mom is trying to balance how does she be a good mom and having to work as well. And so you do the best you can and try to be present when you're home, trying to turn off the cell phone at a certain point. Whenever I'm driving home, I'm saying, okay, now I've got to click into dad gear and husband gear. But I can assure you, when I get home, it's my wife's like, you're not the governor here. Go take out the trash. So it's certainly you're just dad at home.
Smart woman. So I wanted to ask you. So there was this, it was floated. It hasn't happened yet. Who knows, by the time this airs, maybe it happened, that Joe Biden is flirting with the idea of declaring a climate emergency. We've already seen the consequences of their green agenda with gas prices, with food shortages, rising costs all around. You can look at countries like Sri Lanka facing societal collapse because of green policies. There was a brief chemical fertilizer ban in 2021. And then you look at crop production for 2021 to 2022 season, decreased by 40 to 50%. They're looking at, over 50% inflation, on track to hit 70%. So what kind of devastation would those kinds of policies further bring here in America?
Well, I mean, it's simply they don't understand basic economics and supply and demand. And I'll give you in other words, it would absolutely hurt America, it hurt our security. It would cost, everybody would pay for that at the grocery store, at the gas pump. Everything would cost more. It would literally set our country towards bankruptcy. And so I want to talk about energy policy, because I think it's very, very important for people to understand. And when you go back, 1973, every single president since 1973, whether they were Republican or Democrat, had an energy independence policy. In other words, they said, listen, let's make sure that we meet the needs and demands of Americans with our own resources, with our own companies, until the Biden administration. And day one in office, they cancel the Keystone Pipeline. They make it impossible to drill on federal lands. They attack the oil and gas industry. And here's the problem, though. Demand is the same. So in other words, we all are still heating our homes, our businesses. We're all driving to work, and we're taking our kids to piano lessons and soccer practice. So if demand is the same and you choke off supply, what's going to happen? Prices are going to go up. And their solution is simply, well, we'll buy oil from Russia, which I sent a letter to President Biden in February, and I said, this is ridiculous. We have to stop buying oil from Russia. They finally agreed with us in March and put a ban on that. Then he goes over with some apology tour and asks Saudi Arabia to increase oil production. They're draining our reserves. It's like a one-day supply. We're an oil and gas state in Oklahoma, and we have the resources in our country to meet the needs of Americans. We're number four in oil production, number six in oil production, number four in natural gas production. But here's something that people don't realize about our state. We're number two in wind energy production as well. So we have no problem with alternatives, but we're going to let the free market decide and dictate, what the needs are of our country. And we're not going to be blind to the fact that we don't need natural gas and we don't need oil to meet the needs of Americans while we're transitioning or while we're exploring other forms of energy. All of the above can work together just fine, but this administration will not have an intellectual conversation about the need for natural gas and oil.
Well, and it's agenda driven, right? I mean, you can even go back to Obama's energy secretary was talking about how we need to drive up prices. Because if you're trying to get people to stop using fossil fuels, you make it as painful as possible. And that's essentially what they're doing. But it's at the cost of so many Americans hurting right now financially as a result. And fossil fuels shouldn't be this boogeyman. I mean, fossil fuels have made the world a better place and made our country a better place, have made our lives better. And, I'm of the mindset I'd like to keep my apartment at 70 degrees and not pay an enormous amount for gas prices.
Well, that's exactly right. And I think it's important that we educate. When I go around to high schools and colleges and we're talking about, energy and what does a robust, reliable energy grid look like? When you plug in your cell phone, where does that come from? When you plug in your Tesla or your electric vehicle, where is that energy coming from, right? Well, back in February, I don't know if you remember, there was a polar vortex. In other words, it was a super cold weather for 2 weeks here in Oklahoma, Texas, all the way through the Midwest. And the wind turbines were frozen in Oklahoma, so we couldn't get any energy off that. A lot of times, the wellheads were frozen in Oklahoma. We couldn't get gas to our electricity. So coal literally saved the day. We went from less than 5% of our electricity generation from coal to 55% during that two-week period. So I tell young people, if it wasn't for coal, you could not have watched TikTok for two solid weeks. And they kind of look at me like, what? And I'm like, here's the deal. When you plug your cell phone in, that generation has to come from somewhere. So in Oklahoma, 40% normally comes from wind, which is great. Natural gas is a big producer. But you can't be relying on one form of energy. You have to have an all-of-the-above approach to make sure that we have a reliable grid, or people actually die when you have these type of situations. So we have to continue to have these conversations about natural gas, about what generation looks like, and how to have a robust grid in the United States.
Well, that'll get you the TikTok vote too, the young people.
Yeah.
But no, and you could look at California where they've had rolling blackouts as well. I mean, my understanding is that I think we only derive about 11% of our energy needs from renewables. So we're clearly, not there. And again, fossil fuels aren't they've made our lives better, and we should want to make our lives better as a country. Just broadly looking at this administration so far, what do you think?
Oh, it's been a disaster. I hear when you think about inflation being at 40-year highs, these are all self-inflicted wounds that we're having as a country, and it goes back to their policies. I've never seen anything like it in my lifetime. I mean, I was too young to remember the Carter years. Thank goodness we had Reagan came in right after that and saved our country, and we need that type of turnaround. And I think Americans are more and more going to move over to our side of the aisle because they can see what's happening with the left. And so I'm really excited to see what happens in November and then again in 24.
Yeah, Biden's at 19% approval rating with Hispanics right now. I mean, it's pretty, I think we're even though they're trying to lie to us, they're telling us we're not in a recession, They're telling us that these climate policies are good. Bread lines are good. You know, food shortages are good. All this different stuff. We are seeing it with our own eyes, and we are paying for it and seeing it with our wallets as well. Just a real quick break. Stay with us.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
Every week, we'll pick a new song from the list and talk about their placement on the revamped 2021 list.
We'll also have guests join us, ranging from the artists themselves to the producers, or simply other writers like ourselves who voted on them.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern-day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside and Britney Spears' Baby One More Time.
There's so many fascinating stories that have been forgotten, like Midnight Train to Georgia starting with a phone call to Farrah Fawcett, or how the Yeah Yeah Yeahs inspired Kelly Clarkson's banger Since You've Been Gone and Beyoncé's Hold Up. Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with season two of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, I wanted to ask you, what are you guys doing on abortion since the overturning of Roe v. Wade and that Dobbs decision?
Yeah, well, first off, the first thing we did was we banned abortion in the state of Oklahoma, and I've been called the most pro-life governor in the country, which is great. I'm happy to have that title because in Oklahoma, we believe in life, and we believe that life begins at conception. And unlike what the left tries to tell you, the Supreme Court did not ban abortion in Oklahoma or in the United States. They simply said this is a state issue, which it absolutely is. And I'll be the first to admit that every state's going to do things differently. Colorado, for example, they allow abortion on demand all the way up to birth, okay? And they're more aligned, if you think about it, with North Korea and China than most of the European countries, for example. So every state's going to do things differently, and we can now have an honest conversation about what do each state want to do and when does life begin. France, for example, people don't realize this. France bans abortion at 14 weeks. Denmark's, I think, like 12. So most European countries are 12 to 14 weeks. Some people say, hey, heartbeats start in 6 weeks, so we're going to stop it in 6 weeks. Oklahoma, we believe it begins at conception. So that's what the 4 million people in Oklahoma believe. So that's what we did. But I'll tell you this, it's certainly not a minute before the baby's born, like Colorado wants to do. And that's the most grotesque thing that I can even think about. But these states, California, New York, some of these states that are going to be paying people to fly to their states for abortion, it's just not what we believe in Oklahoma. And, you know, that's what our Constitution is designed for, is we have 50 different independent democracies, and our people overwhelmingly support life in Oklahoma, and that's who I represent, and that's kind of that's how we're going to do it in our state, and we'll see what other states do.
Yeah, I mean, Biden wants to talk about extreme. Democrats align themselves with North Korea and China when it comes to abortion. I wanted to get your take. You know, after what happened in Uvalde, obviously Congress went right to taking guns, despite the fact that, you know, the Second Amendment is enshrined and, you know, we need to have the right to defend ourselves and against tyranny as well. But I know that you're working on school safety. Talk a little bit about what you're doing in Oklahoma, not on, obviously, you don't want to take away guns, but on school safety.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first off, and I think you said that very well, That's exactly what the Bill of Rights are for. That's what our Constitution is about, to protect from whims or one person in Washington, D.C. trying to dictate a mandate. We have the right in the United States based on our Constitution for certain things, and one of them is the right to bear arms. But when I saw Uvalde happen, I pulled all of my team together and the Department of Public Safety and my commissioners, and I said, I do not want to see that happen in Oklahoma. So I signed an executive order that kind of laid out seven points, and one of them was an active shooter situation for all of my municipalities. So I wanted to bring in all of the local police forces to make sure they know what the latest tactics are, that they have all the equipment that they need, that they make sure they have the communication down, and they know exactly what to do. The other thing is we wanted to use technology. So we put a panic button technology on a cell phone on every single teacher. So it's programmed. And so they could, with a push of a button, all the first responders without any middlemen just immediately know exactly where to go. We geofence those locations. And then also behavioral assessments. One of the points was behavioral threat assessments for the law enforcement, for the teachers. There's other things we're doing on technology and monitoring social media and things that I don't really want to get into, but we're doing that across the state as well. So really just trying to be a proactive to make sure that we are as safe as we possibly can, and we have the latest training techniques for our police force and for our school systems.
Well, I'd interviewed John Lott with the Crime Prevention Research Center, who sort of studies these things for a living. And he had talked about, one, these always happen in gun-free zones. And then secondly, it's not good to have school resource officers that are obvious because, those are the first people they try to take out. But I wanted to ask you, so you're a member of the Cherokee Nation, the first tribally enrolled Native American to serve as governor in the United States. Not in the way that Elizabeth Warren is. What do you make of Elizabeth Warren, sort of using that lie to her career advantage?
Well, I mean, it's pretty funny to us, and I think most Americans, how she would do that. But yeah, I actually have my card, and my great grandfather was on what's called the Dawes Rolls, and so yeah, we're proud of our heritage. We're proud of our Native American heritage. But one thing that I think sometimes goes too far is this movement to pay different races or try to start incentivizing one race over another race. I think that stuff is nonsense. We need to have a level playing field. We need to make sure that everybody has every opportunity to be successful based on their hard work, based on their merits, based on their education. And so, again, I'm not a person that thinks that we should single out one race over another race. And I just think that's fundamentally un-American to try to do that. So I'm proud of my heritage. It's who I am, and like everybody, we're all proud of our heritage and what folks went through. But it's time for us to have one set of rules and make sure that we're all have success based on our merits and our hard work.
Well, I can assure you, if I lied about it, I would be canceled and would not have this podcast. But different rules for them than there are for us. But before we go, is there anything else you'd like to leave us with?
One thing that you said that I wanted to jump on is the Hispanic community, the Asian community, African American community, all the different minorities, the Native Americans, and sometimes Hispanics, for example, if people think that they are automatically on the left side of the aisle or in the Democrat, what we're finding in Oklahoma is they are flooding over to the Republican side because they believe their values are what our values are. They're super entrepreneurial. They're hardworking. They're family oriented. They're God fearing. I signed this bill called the Save Women in Sports Bill. And it simply just said that in Oklahoma, we're going to protect women's sports, girls' sports. We're going to protect athletics. And we're going to make sure that girls play in girls' sports and boys play in boys' sports. And the Hispanic community just loves that. They just can't believe that anybody on the left would think that's normal to have a high school boy playing in a girls' sport. So, again, to us, it's common sense. The Washington Post interviews me as soon as I sign that bill, and they tell me, oh, you're signing these controversial bills. And I'm like, well, first off, they're not controversial in Oklahoma. In Oklahoma, we know the difference between a boy and a girl, and I'm going to make sure I protect girl sports. And so, again, I just think it's important that we make sure we reach across all the different minority communities saying, hey, we have the best plan. We have the best policies. We want to make sure that you are successful, that we have less government, that we allow you to go be successful, live your life, and we have freedom of religion, freedom of speech, and we've got all that in Oklahoma and in our party. And I think the left tries to dictate and mandate too much to their way of thinking, and I think it's backfiring on them.
I think so, too. And it sounds like common sense to me. So thank you for doing the Lord's work in Oklahoma. Governor Kevin Stitt, thank you for joining The Truth with Lisa Booth.
Thank you. Thanks so much, Lisa.
That was Governor Kevin Stitt of Oklahoma. I really enjoyed that conversation. I hope you guys did, too. I appreciate him approaching governing like a business, having that different perspective. And that's probably why he's been so successful there. So thank you to him. And thank you to you at home for listening every Monday, every Thursday. But you can listen throughout the week as well. The Truth with Lisa Booth. I want to thank my executive producer, John Cassio, who's back from vacation, rested, tanned, ready to roll. And yeah. So also leave us a review on Apple, 5 stars, and let us know what you think. Thanks, guys. See you next time.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside.
Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.